All right, our next presenter, representing the state of Arizona, and there's plenty to talk about with Arizona, isn't there? So we're going to give her a little bit longer time. Please welcome Liz Harris, representing Arizona.
Hello.
Hi, Liz. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful.
Glad you're here with us today. So there's your beautiful state of Arizona, as you can see down here, and we'll move on to the next slide. Now, here's what we were told, the big lie versus the truth for the state of Arizona. And now we'll pick it up right here. Does this look familiar to you?
Yes, it does.
Tell us about this.
Okay, so in Arizona, understand we have 15 counties, which is not a lot of counties. And this slide here, we need to go back one. Okay,
there
so Maricopa County, all right, I'm going to go Maricopa County uses Dominion, but understand the 14 other counties use other systems such as ESNS. And that's important because Maricopa County, understand that County Maricopa represents about 50% of the state of Arizona. It is a huge county. The legislators tried breaking it up into four counties last session. They weren't able to get it through. But Maricopa County, again, if it represents 75% of the state, that tells you.
Yes.
Yeah. So again, outside of Maricopa County, there are other systems used. Okay, now the next slide is what Shelby Bush talked about. And this photo credit goes to Matt Van Bieber and the late Aaron Wagner. So people.
The late.
So people that I've worked with on this project, some of them have lost their lives, and that's sad.
In
Arizona.
But in questionable manner?
So Aaron, it may have been COVID, but the person who developed our app for the canvassing was mysteriously killed in Florida in a hit and run, and they never found the person that killed him.
Hmm. That is disturbing.
And the person that uploaded the data into the app on the first day of our official canvassing that the Senate told us to cancel, but we went and did it anyway. His plane went down that morning. Now he survived with fifth degree burns. He's still working with us, but that was suspicious.
Mm. I'm sorry to hear that. Mm. Let's go to the next slide here. Explain this to us.
Okay, so the explain this in Arizona. Now Shelby Bush had already mentioned that we had unauthorized access by an unbadged person who was let into the server room where we were supposed to have two people in that server room. We should have never only had one person. And then again, Shelby mentioned, one story was they were deleted, another story was, they were overwritten, and then finally it's, they were archived and the subpoena didn't ask for archived records. This is an example of everything that I bring to either the recorder's office, the attorney general, or the elected officials. It's basically, Liz, you don't know what you're talking about, nothing to see here. And it's extremely frustrating. I pay my taxes like everyone else. I don't get listened to by the people who can make the changes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let me just say this. Another one, so we recently had a court case in Arizona, and it was Carrie Lake, Mark Fincham against Katie Hobbs, and it's an injunction against the machines. And something that was brought up in this court case, which I knew about, was all the employees shared a password. So when we talk about the machines, can you imagine a company where everyone shares the same password? So then it came up where during the court case, they wanted to reveal to everyone what the shared password was, and the judge overruled it and said, no, you can't give out the password. I am pretty sure, being as involved as I am, that the password was password.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so then we have the routers and the Splunk logs. So since December of 2020, I've been crying out, please give us the routers and the Splunk logs. So know that Ben Cotton, he was part of the Arizona forensic audit. He knew what the configuration was in 2019-2020. What we creatively did in Arizona, because Liz Harris, me, I've been screaming for the log files and the Splunk logs from pretty much day one, what they did was Senate President Karen Fan appointed Special Master John Shattuck Now, John Shattuck was very tight with John McCain. I'm just going to let you know that. So they assigned him as the special master. Then in late 2021, 2022, John Shattuck calls in three cybersecurity experts who are now looking at a configuration that is nothing like the configuration November 2020. And so what did these cybersecurity experts, who all have great resumes, what did they say? Nothing to see here. And that is very important. Again, nothing to see here. Now, I ran into John Shattuck when he was first assigned, and I said to him, please use Ben Cotton as one of your cybersecurity experts. And he looked at me like he didn't even know who Ben Cotton was. Mm-hmm. All right, and then, of course, we have zero security patches that came up in the court case a couple weeks ago. The reason they're giving us, oh, we can't do any of the security patches, is because then the machines have to be certified. Well, I got news for you. Anyone who's following the majority of machines in the country, none of them were certified because some of the, the EAC and the accreditations were not kept up to date. And I think we know that, but our elected officials and our judges are not listening to us.
All right.
All right, so now what I'm mostly known for is the canvas. I think Jovan called me the canvas queen. Okay, so the following situations just don't happen by accident. So the question, so I think you know why I started the canvassing. I wanted to see what was going on.
And for those who don't know, canvassing is lay people that may be brand new watching, just kind of getting into this.
Sure.
That means knocking on actual doors.
Right.
Seeing if there are two people that voted in the House and there's two people. Asking them, no, there's two of us. Oh, but wait, we've got seven voted from this House.
Correct.
Or you got 10 people voting from a park bench or an empty parking lot. This is canvassing.
Pretty much. So our line of questioning was never who did you vote for. It was what method did you use to vote? When did you vote in person or on election? You know, when did you vote? How many extra ballots did you receive? What did you do with those extra ballots? Mm-hmm. So because of the anomalies in that canvassing effort, I was truly praying, or I was believing that this audit that we had, which by the way was an $8 to $9 million audit, that it was going to basically reveal why we found the things we found in the canvassing. And I'm gonna be honest, it really didn't. It answered some questions, but I will tell you that Cyber Ninjas had their, Doug Logan, he had his hands tied in many cases, and it was because our legislators' attorneys warned our legislators of going in certain directions. So my question was, how did these canvassing results, which showed approximately 300,000 bad votes or illegal ballots, how did this happen? So the movie 2000 Mules answered a lot of questions, mm-hmm. but I said immediately, this is not enough, there is more. So while all our heads and eyeballs are focused on drop boxes, I said, we have to look at the machines. And I told the people that I work with every day, I said, it's not just drop boxes, it's the machines as well. And when you go in and you're a poll observer or a poll worker, you can't see what's happening in the machines. And that is why I'm so grateful to Mike Lindell, because the machines have got to go. Mm. So the question is, are they tracking our vote histories? I believe 100% yes. I believe a lot of manipulation is done with the low propensity voter who doesn't check to see if their vote was recorded. Do the machines vote for us at times? And I, of course, I've thought this from the beginning. Yes, the machines are manipulating. So if we can go to the next slide. All right, so I'm going to blow through these because you've probably heard a lot of this. Candace, a resident of Arizona, indicated she did not vote. However, Maricopa County shows that she voted by mail. How does that happen? How does that just get thrown away? Next. Okay. Austin, resident of Queen Creek, indicated that he dropped off his ballot at the polling location. However, Maricopa County has him recorded as an early in-person vote. So the one thing that we're blessed with in Maricopa County is they have all these letter codes for when we vote and how we vote. So that's how we were able to determine a lot of this. Many states, they just have whether you voted or not, or whether it was mail or in person. We can actually identify when the person voted and how they did. We also have something in Arizona we got rid of the permanent early voting list, but we still have a system where you can get a mail-in ballot, but you have to request it. And so we just have a ton of anomalies going on in Arizona right now, people who have asked to be removed from that list, but they're still being mailed ballots. And when you say why, what do you think the reason is? Oh, because of COVID. All right, next slide. Okay, Hannah and her husband, residents of Queen Creek, indicated they both voted in person on election day. And by the way, that is how I'm asking everyone to vote. If your state has in-person voting, do it on election day with a blue ballpoint pen. Don't let them give you a felt tip marker. However,
and the reason for that is?
Jovan has a million reasons. But one of the reasons is that there is, in the machines, there is a database of filled in ovals. And their database of filled in ovals looks a lot more like the Sharpie or the felt tip marker. I don't want to get sued by Sharpie. But anyway, so when a ballot is undervoted, they can basically fill in votes. There's a whole host of reasons. Of course, the other reason is the bleed through. And yet, all right, remember that redheaded guy, Stephen Richer, we saw up earlier? So his department put out a video. No, we can't vote with blue ballpoint pens because it's going to smear on the ballot and the tabulator can't read it. Now, if you have a blue ballpoint pen, fill in a little oval and see how hard it is to smear. So what they did for Maricopa County is they made a video where they took a blue liquid gel pen and smeared it all over the place. And then they showed us that video and said, you see, this is why you can't use blue ballpoint pens. Mm. And then we had a worker actually show that the felt tip pen smeared, and now he has been relieved from duty and he cannot come back.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's Arizona is just completely crazy. So anyway, next slide. Jesus Avondale voted by mail-in ballot, no vote recorded. Next slide. Christine, resident of Avondale, voted by mail-in ballot. However, Maricopa County has no vote recorded. Do you see how these themes repeat themselves again and again and again? Next.
Military ballot?
Oh, well, okay, so she was in the military. Ballot was mailed to her because she was a UVOCAVA status, and it was sent to one of her old addresses, which is completely legal. However, her address was changed on 12/20, and the military address, not to her knowledge, has suddenly been removed, which is suspicious. Okay, a resident of Arizona indicated that Elizabeth is registered to her address, moved to Texas 20 years ago. Every election cycle, she asked to have Elizabeth removed, but they continue to receive a ballot for her. Now, further research shows that Elizabeth was on the permanent list, and she has never been an active voter. No ballots should have ever been mailed to her, and she has also been registered in Texas to 2001. So there is a classic example of someone registered in two states. Brendan, her husband, never received their mail-in ballots, even though their PEVEL status is active. And this is a good time to tell you about what I got a report, and this is important. So if you're supposed to get a mail-in ballot and you do not receive a mail-in ballot, that is just as bad. Because I got a report on Friday, October 30th, 2020, in Glendale, Arizona, the police were called and they found a stack of 18 ballots underneath a rock.
Mm.
Now they were weathered, they were not filled out, but I guarantee you, they were probably there for a mule to pick up. The wonderful police department delivered all the ballots, and all of those ballots were from the same postal carrier route. I verified they were all. So it's probably not a bunch of mailboxes being broken into. It's probably some. And the thing is, were the police ordered to ever investigate this? To the best of my knowledge, they were not.
Now, this type is so small, you may need to turn around to see behind
okay,
you.
Okay, so this one is pretty much, it's Wonkaka Village. Okay, so this is Gila, in Gila Bend, and what it is, it's basically 57 people registered, and when you go to Wankaka Village, you don't see any structure there. There's no structure. Now, if Indian reservation is involved, it's very complex. You know, a lot of times they go to community centers, vote together. But the thing that's mysterious about this, and this is something that Chris Hansel talks about, it's voters going on the list and off the list, and then back on the list, and then deactivated, and then reactivated, and that explains Kaka Village. Something's not right here. And in 2008, there wasn't a single vote from this address. What happened? So there's all types of things like this, and when we bring them up, the elected officials, like Stephen Richer and Assessor Eddie Cook, oh, well, Liz, you just don't understand. The cover of the canvassing report, our first cover, admittedly, we made a grave mistake. We inverted numbers and we had misinformation. We corrected it to a solid second cover. And on the second cover, what it was, in 2019, there were some mobile homes. That field was leveled in 2020. There were no homes there. I went to the UPS worker across the street and said, in September, October of 2020, was there a single mobile home here? He said, no. Now, there are registered voters still there to this day, and a vote came off of that off of that vacant lot. So what the elected officials did to try to humiliate me, they went back into Google Maps 2019 and showed the world, look, Liz, there were mobile homes on this lot. You don't know what you're talking about. And this is what the media and our elected officials, the people that represent me in the state of Arizona, this is their response and how they work with me on this information. Mm. Okay.
Is there anything else on here you need?
No, we can go.
Okay.
Okay, Tolleson said that of the five residents, they all voted by mail, but it looks like two of them have no vote recorded. So two votes vanished. I would say that's probably machines. He got an extra ballot. He got a ton of extra ballots. He couldn't even guess at how many, or he doesn't remember the names, and he says he burned them. Hmm. Okay, next one. Kathy Phoenix, basically, Denise was registered at her address. She was the previous owner. Denise moved to Texas. It seems like everyone leaves Arizona for Texas. In 2006, she has been registered there since 2006, and yet she's still a registered voter in Arizona. Carlos, resident of El Mirage, received a mail-in ballot but did not request it. Carlos is active on the early voting list, did not want to be active, and then Carlos is registered twice with two different voter ID numbers.
Hmm. And these are just examples of many, right?
Oh, we have thousands and thousands. So understand, when Jovan gave you the number of 7,500, that was just from July to August of 2021. We actually started our canvassing in December of 2020. So we did almost a full year of canvassing, and that's where all this comes from. Okay, so here's the last canvassing story. Gloria from Chandler passed away prior to the 2020 election. A relative of Gloria shared this and also shared that everyone in the family voted for Trump and hated Biden and his border policies. When asked if Gloria also voted for Trump, now normally our canvassers do not ask that, but this is a one-off. He looked at the canvasser as if they were crazy and said, no, she died. Maricopa County has a mail-in ballot recorded for her. Sure hope it was for Trump, according to the family, and her registration is still active.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so this is really what I want to press on right now. This is one of the greatest roadblocks in the state of Arizona. We had this legislation right there, 2289, HB 2289, and it was ready for a third read. That means we were very close to getting this passed. And Speaker of the House, Rusty Bowers, and I'm sorry, Senate President Karen Fann, did this country, not Arizona, did the country injustice, because we could have been a model for this legislation. Next slide. Keep going, sorry. Mm-hmm. All right, so a voter may not, basically it says you have to present good state-issued voter ID. Next. Mm-hmm. And then absentee ballots are basically for the military and the disabled. They are not called mail-in ballots. Those are absentee ballots. No mail-in ballots. All ballots should be cast in person at the person's precinct. We can't have these massive voter centers. You have to vote locally. All ballots should be hand counted within 24 hours max. We should be able to do that a lot faster. Now, these precincts, the legislation said 1,500 registered voters, but I'm telling you 1,500 is too big. We need 1,000 registered voters per precinct. That will keep the lines from being long and enable the people to do a hand count in an expeditious manner. Next. Okay, so the Board of Supervisors or other officer in charge of the elections shall not allow the use of electronic or other tabulating equipment, and the counting shall be done by hand. Mm. Woo!
Definitely.
That's great, and that's why we're here today, because the machines are a problem. And next slide.
Yep.
Okay, oh, and the legislation even included, hey, you can't, because Pima County, Arizona said if you're not vaccinated, you don't wear a mask, you can't be a poll worker. The legislation even covered that.
Yep. So
that's that slide, yeah. Okay. Go ahead. All right. So the reason that they said that they did not finish out and pass this legislation, our legislators said they did not have the votes. However, the smart thing to have done would have been to put it up for vote. In Arizona, we call it the Board of Truth. And then we, the people, could have seen which legislators were failing to allow that to go through. So Maricopa County had the world's largest forensic audit of ballots. Counterfeit ballots were discovered, but the legislators did not allow it in the report. Canvassing was not allowed in the report. And the reason they claimed that they didn't want the canvassing to be an official part of the Maricopa County audit was because they were afraid of the Department of Justice and they were afraid that these lawsuits were going to shut down the audit. Well, on September 24th, the audit was not shut down. We were pretty much wrapped up. So they could have put this information in the audit and they chose not to.
But you got the canvassing revealing almost 300,000.
It's an extrapolated number, but our sample size is so huge. And that 300,000 number was just from the canvassing in July and August of 2021. We have tons of affidavits prior to that. Which brings me to the story I wanted to share.
Yes.
And this is a very sad story, and I'm probably going to get a lot of criticism for sharing it. But I won my primary by a lot. Thank you. So anyway, so they called the legislators who are not currently legislators into a meeting this past Monday. So it's not even a week old. And I'm not going to tell you, there are a group of legislators that said, we want you to come in and we're going to talk about how things work and how bills and, you know, get passed and how the committee structure works and all that great stuff. So for the first half of it, two and a half hours, there were five lobbyists that pitched us, which is great because I'm going to have to get used to that. But then Carrie Lake came in a little while, and she was great. And then they made a comment, and what the comment was, okay, and I'm sure I'm not supposed to repeat this, but when you are assigned on a committee, you tell the chair what your vote is, yes or no. And you do not change your vote. You stick with your vote. So in Arizona, we push very hard on this request to speak. An angel mom, Marianne Mendoza, for any of you that remember her, she raised her hand and she said, but what about the people that come in and speak to us? And the response was, we do not listen to them. We know better. And my hand shot up. And what I was going to say, now a lot of these people that go in to speak, they're precinct committeemen, okay? And what I was going to say, but they wouldn't call on me, I was going to say, you mean the people who go out there in 110 degrees and work their buttocks off to see you get elected, you're telling us you don't listen to them? But they didn't give me the opportunity to say that. So I'm saying it nationally now. Do you think, thank you, thanks. Do you think I really, here's the deal, the person that said it, there were five other current legislators there. Not a single one of them corrected her or said, well, what she means by that, no. They remain silent, and that is a problem. Do you think that I really want to go work with these people? No, but I will. I will win, and I will lead, and God bless America. Get rid of the machines.
Liz Harris, thank you, Liz, representing the great state of Arizona.
May Arizona be the first domino to fall.
Thank you so much, Liz. Thank you.